We're coming to the close of 2024, and what a year it's been. The S&P 500 is up 25% for the year so far, and the JSE All-Share Index is up about 9%. Trump was re-elected to the White House, and South Africa has a government of national unity. A lot has happened this year, and all of this played out heavily in the financial markets, which seem somewhat more cheery than was the case at the beginning of the year. Well, to help us recap the year and some of the milestone events, we're joined by Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Hi, Adrian. Good to talk to you. And this is an appropriate time of the year to recap what's happened. Take us through what you see, you know, what were some of the big milestone events and some of the things that maybe surprised you.
Hi, Kieran, and thanks for having me. And thank you to the guys who are listening in. I think you've mentioned that the U.S. markets are 25% year-to-date. That certainly surprises me. If you look at some of the historic data for what happens in a typical election year, it typically shows that markets are quite quiet leading up to the election, and typically the elections are fairly late in the year, as we know, which sort of eats up the opportunity to trade and for investors to invest with confidence, and that leads to quieter years. Certainly not the case this year. In fact, if you look at the historic data, it's been the best election year for the S&P since the 1930s, which I think is quite amazing, especially if you consider the valuations, which is something that we've spoken of before. I mean, there are areas that look reasonably expensive. So the odds were stacked against it, you know, this big rally that we've seen and a lot of momentum that we have seen. So certainly a surprise there. And I think the other one, definitely Asian markets have also been quite surprising. It feels like every week there's something new coming out of China. And we saw what happened in the Japanese markets in August with the carry trade and what transpired there. So I think those would be globally the things that probably surprised most. And locally, I think we were hoping for a positive outcome. And I think our base case was just for a more balanced outcome from the elections. And we ended up with the GNU, and we've got different political parties playing a role in how reforms being set. I think that's a huge surprise. So, and even what happened directly after that, no social violence, no issues, very well received by international investors. A pleasant surprise there for us.
We spoke at the beginning of the year and you were bullish on South African assets. What were the investment decisions that worked in your favor this year? And were you happy with some of the calls that you made?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it was a very difficult one, but, you know, as it often goes, it's the ones that make you most uncomfortable that turns out to be some of the more profitable things from an investment perspective is being brave enough to follow the research direction and invest in areas that are not favored at that point in time. And the South African assets is a classic example of that. I mean, we looked at the risks and the potential consequences and the probabilities of various outcomes. And on balance, we thought that markets are probably pricing in too much bad news. And then at the end of the day, not only was there not the bad news, it was actually quite good news. So just goes to show, I think, maybe two lessons in that. The one is that you've got to follow the research, and the other component is that, you know, diversification does pay, because almost often the areas that you think are going to do well don't, and the areas that you thought might be a bit of a grudge purchase tends out to perform quite nicely. So from a South African assets perspective, across the spectrum, equities, I think, fairly well published. The bond space, our yields have come down. In line with the long bond, our listed property companies have done well. They've had to wait a long time to recover some of the losses after COVID. Our banks have done well. Our local retailers have done well. So quite a lot of good news on the South African front from an investment perspective as well.
Now, looking ahead, there are some issues that could be a cause for concern. The debt levels, governments worldwide, including South Africa, overspending. A risk of inflation is going to be an issue. What do you see as the red flags ahead?
Yeah, I think you managed to spot probably the two bigger ones because they speak to long-term structural issues. Typically, In the money management space, there's always areas of the market that are expensive and that would be a concern, but it's quite easy to pivot into other areas. The thing that's a worry about persistent inflation is obviously the impact more longer term, especially in relation to how that impacts the financing cost of the US government. So as long as rates remain higher there, the US government's interest rate bill on the bond issuance is astronomical, well in excess of $1 trillion a year now. And that's money that needs to come from the taxpayer that is not applied productively into the economy to promote more growth. So they've managed to build a bit of a headwind, and they've just essentially borrowed excessively from future growth. That's effectively what you're doing if you take on debt. You bet yourself that you're going to grow quicker than what your debt bill is growing, and if that doesn't happen, you land in a position where your debt and funding costs can really straddle you down. So that would be the key issues there. I've mentioned the valuation risk in the US. It's been a concern for a while. Sometimes I feel like we're looking a bit silly because, I mean, the US market is just ramping on and not really caring about any of the fundamentals at the moment. But, you know, trees don't grow forever. Eventually that has to stop. And I think it's just a question of patience. But for me, probably for the prevailing market, some of the anecdotal things that you can see out of the market is just excessive speculation. There is really classic evidence of just way too much money throttling around. Retail investors, happy speculators in equity markets. We see things like, some cryptocurrencies, things that are really not even the popular ones, you know, shooting the lights out. We see things like leveraged ETFs on weird things being launched at the moment. So it's just way too much money in circulation. Investors are way too happy to use, you know, the little money that's there to speculate. And I don't think that's going to be wise. And that often sort of lays the seeds down for future troubles. And I think one of the areas where that might come from would be my guess is what we see in private markets, because probably one of the areas that's grown most aggressively is private markets. And that's not to say private markets are bad. I think the problem there is just the governance and the transparency is not always what it should be, not universally so, but in some instances. And what's happening now, some of these private equity businesses are growing so quickly and have so much capital that they sit with a lot of reinvestment risk, because what they've taken on and invested into other businesses now matures and they need to do something with that money. And then ultimately you end up investing into inferior things with different headwinds on the near term. So those are the things that would worry me looking ahead.
Okay, when we spoke at the beginning of the year, I know you were fairly bullish on South African banks, and that was a call that played out very well. What asset classes are you looking at the moment as we head into 2025? Are you still bullish on banks, or do you think they're still fairly valued, or are there other sectors that we could be looking at?
Yeah, I think the banks for us still screen quite attractively. If you look at the relief rally, it's really still, I mean, because the way we typically look at these things is we look at how the valuation has moved and how the earnings have moved, and are they keeping pace with one another? And any material gaps between the two cannot be sustained over time. But essentially what's happening is the share prices are actually just playing catch up with the earnings. And that's because the share prices were just under pressure for too long, and not across all the banks, but on the majority of them. So we're still quite constructive on that space. But South African equities in general, it's an area that's quite rich in opportunity. Even for the bonds still, I think there's still opportunity for those yields to come down. We see that the rating agencies are waiting for the budget speech to come. And hopefully there aren't any nasty surprises in there that scare the rating agencies. But also I think, you know, people are very concerned about the property space, and I think In some cases, that's warranted. But as long as rates come down and the long bond yields come down, I think the majority of the property companies will continue to recover, and they still have a lot of ground to recover on. Like I said, I don't think they should be trading at levels where they were before COVID. They were too expensive, and not the right things were happening in that space. But there's still room for them to grow. And maybe lastly, I think, we're not negative on the offshore environment per se. It's more focused on the US. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunity in China, but you've got to think about risk-adjusted returns in that space. We like the UK space, very neglected area. Actually, quite similar to what we saw in South Africa. Retail investors in that space moving their money away, investing in US markets, following US returns. And as that cycle turns, that money is likely to find its way back home when investors think a little bit more soberly about valuations.
Final question, Adrian. The investment landscape for South African investors as we approach the end of 2024, is it more attractive or less so than it was at the beginning of, let's say, this year or even last year?
Well, for me personally, I would say I'm far less worried than what I was last year this time, 6 months ago. Some of the risks have definitely decelerated. It's not to say that they've gone entirely, but there was a decent probability for quite a bad outcome. I mean, it feels like a distant memory now, but from a risk perspective, I think it's reduced substantially. And from a return perspective, I think there's still significant upside there. So I would say, given that the risks have largely decelerated, I think we're in a better spot than last year. So I feel encouraged. It's the area of the portfolio that excites me most. I think there is still some recovery of rand that could take place. The dollar is very strong, so immediately the offshore space looks a little bit less attractive because a rand recovery could eat into that quite substantially. You just have to be a little bit more patient with the offshore holdings that you do have. But for now, I think the South African landscape looks quite good.
Well, we're going to leave it there. That was Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Thanks very much, Adrian, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to everybody listening. Appreciate it.